Welcome in to the newest episode of the Hoth Hangout Podcast. Glad to have you all here with us, joining us for episode 118 of the pod. And whether you're watching live or listening or watching after the fact, good to have you all here. We are talking Star Wars hot takes today. Yes, it's going to be a spicy episode, and excited to have you all here along with us for this journey. Before we hop into today, I want to give a quick reminder that if you're not yet subscribed to the Hoth Hangout Podcast on YouTube, check us out there for the video version of every podcast, as well as our live streams of every episode if you are watching them currently. Shout out to all those of you who are currently subscribed. You can also contact us via email at hothhangout@gmail.com with your Star Wars thoughts, questions, or otherwise, and we'd love to showcase them here on the podcast as well. You can find us wherever you get your pods, including both Apple and Spotify. And if you're listening on either of those platforms or any platform that allows you to leave a five-star review, leave a five-star review on the podcast. We'd appreciate it very much. And it also allows it to be more easily discovered by other people that love and enjoy Star Wars as well. We're on the socials on Instagram, TikTok, and X at Hoth Hangout on each of those platforms, and also live streaming this currently not only on YouTube, but on Twitch as well. Check us out there also at Hoth Hangout over on Twitch. The link for the Hoth Hangout community Discord server is also available down in the show notes of today's episode as well. Joey, how are you doing? How are you feeling about getting into some of these hot takes?
I mean, they're hot takes, right? So I'm nervous, actually. I don't know what we're about to see here. Ben was the one that came up with the idea for today's episode, as well as the videos that we're going to react to. So I'm pretty excited to see what we end up talking about here. I see some of the topics here. So yeah, I'm really interested in seeing what we're going to talk about today.
Yeah, we've got 7 in total. In fairness, I have seen these. Some of them are what you would consider maybe typical hot takes. Some maybe more atypical hot takes. I'm curious to see probably perhaps most what your responses to the atypical ones will be. Mm-hmm. As well, those of you watching as well live. If you are watching live or listening after the fact, let us know in the live chat or in the comments down below what your biggest Star Wars hot take would be. But before we do get into some of our hot takes for today, let's take a look at our first piece of news we've got for the day about George Lucas at the San Diego Comic-Con panel. Now, actually, Joey, I did not know this prior to reading the article, but George Lucas is opening his very own museum known as the Lucas Museum of Narrative Art, that is set to open next year in Los Angeles, and it will showcase Star Wars as well as, it sounds like, some Marvel items. At least that's mm-hmm. what it is according to the article. Some of these included Luke's X-34 Landspeeder from New Hope, the bike that General Grievous rides in Revenge of the Sith, Anakin's N1 fighter from Episode 1, and as well as the speeders from that chase scene on Endor and Return of the Jedi. So lots of cool, it sounds like, vehicles that are going to be showcased in the museum's debut. Do you think you'd ever go to this someday?
Oh, I'd love to. I mean, anything that has to do with Lucasfilms, obviously I would love to see it. I would love to see what kinds of things inspire George Lucas throughout his lifetime. He has a lot of like old comic books that he has, like the original Flash Gordon, I think, is in there. Not just like the comic, but the actual like concept art. So he has something like 40,000 pieces of art or something that he owns. I'm not sure if all of that will be displayed or how much of it, a percentage of it will be displayed. But to be able to, you know, kind of get in the mind of George Lucas to see what types of things really inspired him. And I watched the panel. I don't know if you had a chance, but I watched a bit of the panel. And just hearing him and Guillermo del Toro talk about like the importance of art and what it means to a society, what it means to build community, and just the emotion behind it really, you know, really spoke to me. And it was a great, if anybody gets a chance to talk, to watch that video of George Lucas at Comic-Con. I think it was a great video. It was a great interview. Queen Latifah moderated it. and it was really good. I would suggest people go watch it just to see the passion behind George Lucas. Sometimes he's kind of dry, you know, sometimes, but to hear him really talk passionately about art and creativity and all those things, I think it really speaks to the creator that he is and the legacy he wants to leave upon the earth.
We could do a whole podcast episode on who can do the best Star Wars impressions, and then one of those impressions can be George Lucas. It's such a distinct way that he does those interviews. He does have kind of that dry sense a little bit sometimes that you're talking about, but...
I think we could at least nail like the cosplay. I'm pretty sure the shirt that he's showing right now might be at Costco. So it's a Kirkland brand. Yeah. I think we could probably get it there.
That's just like George Lucas's whole wardrobe is just like lumberjack shirts that are he's probably owned since 1977 or something like that. Right. I don't know. So. Well, coming to a San Diego area near you, or Los Angeles area near you, I should say, debuting, of course, the announcement here at San Diego Comic-Con sometime next year. I didn't see a month, but all I saw was 2026 in the article announcement. So over 150,000 objects. And as you said, I think 40,000 of those, or maybe just in general, he owns 40,000 pieces of comic related art. So something to be pretty excited about, especially if you live in the Southern California area. Definitely going to want to check this out next year for sure. All right, and with our one piece of news being behind us now, it's time for the hot takes, Joey. Now, as we shared off the top of this episode, we have hot takes in the form of videos this podcast episode, and so we'll be reacting to these videos as they come on. Of course, if you are an audio only listener, this might be a preferred video version of episode, but you still can listen along in the audio format. Of course, we've got 7 in total. Most of them are pretty brief, roughly 60-second clips, with the exclusion of our very first hot take, which is a roughly 4-minute video that I thought we could watch together about Episode 7, The Force Awakens. And Spy on Sports here in the chat, as we're getting ready to get started, saying, ironically, the best Star Wars impressionist would likely be Sam Witwer. This is true. I don't know how many characters he has played at this point, but I know he's their go-to. Of course, the voice actor probably most well-known for either Darth Maul or Starkiller from the Force Unleashed games, as well as probably a host of other Star Wars characters he's done, but yeah, he would be a pretty good impressionist. So, right off the top, should I give you the list of 7 topics for these hot takes at the beginning? Okay.
Yeah, so that'd be a good start.
In order of our 7, we've got The Force Awakens. This hot take is a critical hot take of that film. The second one is about Ahsoka.
Okay.
The third one is about the EU, the expanded universe of Star Wars, what at one point was kind of technically canonical. Disney purchases Star Wars and all the EU stuff becomes EU or Legends now.
Mm-hmm.
And so the Kenobi show is the 4th topic. Rogue One, the 5th topic. I wanted to make sure we got that one in there just for you, Joey.
Oh, gosh. I'm not going to like that one.
The originals versus prequels is the 6th, and the final one is Princess Leia. I honestly think it's fair to say that maybe it gets even spicier towards the end with these hot takes. So
okay.
I'm curious to see your reaction to some of the later ones in particular. But okay. As I said, most of them are only about a minute or two long, with the exception of the first one, which is about a 4-minute video about The Force Awakens. Mm-hmm. Do you have any thoughts as we're heading into this before we jump into our first hot take of today's episode?
I mean, they're hot takes, right? So they're meant to stir up conversation. They're meant to kind of toe the line of just making people angry. So I think that's something that we have to take into consideration when we watch whenever people say, when they call it hot take. You know, they're purposely, you know, putting thought, you know, they want to provoke thought, provoke a reaction. So some of it might be tongue in cheek. So I don't know. But at the same time, I think it's always good to approach these types of these takes in such a manner where you're just like, okay, let's just see what they have to say, take a pause, and then let's react to it. That's kind of like how I'm expecting to approach this. What about you? I guess you had seen some of these already. So what, I mean, like, is that a good way to approach this?
Yeah, I think half the time a hot take is just code for I'm going to say something outrageous so that I can rage bait people and then like get all the commenters, you know, oh my gosh, I can't believe you said that about my favorite character. I think there is mostly genuineness in a lot of the hot takes I've selected today. I've tried to eliminate ones that felt very critical of things that have just kind of been like, you know, beaten over the heads of us as Star Wars fans for the last, like we all know that there's a lot of controversy around the sequels and Rey. So I was like, let's probably just like not even leave that in there as a hot take because everyone's already covered all that stuff, you know? But I think my favorite one, well, I'll save it for which one my favorite one will be. I'd say maybe after each one, we can briefly just kind of, and those of you watching live or listening after the fact can comment if you think this is like a S, A, B, C, D, or F in terms of S being you fully agree with the hot take, F being absolutely not. That's a terrible take. All right. And as we're getting into it, Spy on Sports in the chat saying, can confirm there are plenty of hobby hot takes about Star Wars as well. Yeah. Lots of Star Wars hot takes in the world of Star Wars fans.
I mean, if they're all hot takes, are any of them hot? You know what I mean?
if every take is hot, every take is actually cool. Is that what you're saying?
Yep, that's what I'm saying.
Okay. All right. Well, this first hot take is about The Force Awakens. Again, this is the longest one of the seven. This one's 4 minutes. The rest of them are really only about 1 or 2 minutes. So,
and this is from who is the
one that
we should credit them as well.
Right. All seven of our hot takes today are taken from three different other Star Wars YouTube content creators. The first of which is Scenarion. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. The first hot take is from Scenarion, which is just this Force Awakens hot take. And the title of this hot take is The Force Awakens Ruined Star Wars and No One Noticed.
All right. Let's see it.
When Star Wars The Force Awakens hit theaters in 2015, the reaction was electric. Theaters were packed, fans were cheering, and the internet exploded with celebration. Star Wars was back, or so it seemed. Then came The Last Jedi, and suddenly everything changed. Fans who had praised The Force Awakens turned bitter. The sequel trilogy, once embraced, became a battleground of controversy, as if The Last Jedi had suddenly ruined Star Wars and deserved all the blame. But the truth is, Star Wars died the very moment the opening crawl of The Force Awakens hit the screen. And the masses all applauded, too blinded by nostalgia to recognize that everything meaningful about the legendary saga created by George Lucas had already been brutally burned to the ground.
The
Force Awakens marketed itself as a continuation, but in reality it was a disrespectful annihilation, a complete reset disguised as a sequel. The film opens with the revelation that the New Republic, the very thing the original trilogy fought to restore, has been wiped out entirely off-screen without a build-up or a fallout, not even a narrative reason we can examine. Everything the rebels in the original trilogy ever fought for had been destroyed. Instead, we're told the good guys are now the underdogs again, calling themselves the Resistance, fighting some new empire with a new name. And to make sure the audience didn't think too hard about it, they gave us a plot that was nearly identical to A New Hope, with its desert orphan, droid carrying secret plans, and giant space station that blows up planets. Even the villain is a Walmart Darth Vader, mask and all. But yeah, this isn't storytelling. It's pathetic rehashing and nostalgia baiting. Laziness masked as myth-making. The original heroes won the war, only for the galaxy to be inexplicably thrown back into the same conflict with different branding. And at the time, it seemed like no one cared about how or why that happened, because Star Wars apparently felt like Star Wars again, with all its Millennium Falcons, Death Stars, and Stormtroopers. Then we're reintroduced to the original trio, or rather, hollow echoes of them. Han Solo is no longer a legend. He's regressed back into a degenerate smuggler, a man who apparently learned nothing from his arc. Princess Leia, on the other hand, is leading a ghost army in a war that makes no sense. As for Luke, he's just a rumor, a missing myth. People were losing their minds to see Star Wars again.
They're getting more and more noticeable.
Discarding the literal hero of the original trilogy right from the very first frame. These weren't new directions. They were narrative assassinations. The original trilogy gave us heroes who overcame impossible odds, redeemed evil, and finally brought peace to the galaxy. The sequel trilogy begins by telling us that none of that mattered. The war wasn't won. The Republic and the supposed New Jedi Order failed. Anakin's sacrifice and him bringing balance to the Force meant nothing. All of our heroes failed, not even through meaningful tragedy, but through vague implications and off-screen defeats. This was a demolition, a degradation of legends, of modern mythological heroes that defined Western art for decades.
Assassination, demolition, degradation.
Because Star Wars is back, in that order. Right? But yeah. It gets worse. Kylo Ren, the son of Han and Leia, and the former apprentice of Luke, ended up being the very thing our original trio fought to destroy. An evil, mass-murdering maniac consumed by the dark side of the Force. So Han's and Leia's respective characters didn't only get their craft torn to shreds, but also utterly failed as parents. Their offspring became the new embodiment of evil. And Luke, being Kylo's former master, takes the disaster to new depths.
I don't even look like Luke.
People love to complain about The Last Jedi ruining Luke's character and his arc as an old, powerful Jedi master. But his failure was already set up with The Force Awakens. He had already fled, become a hermit, and managed to turn his own nephew into a villain. There was literally nothing that could have redeemed this with any sequel ever made. His character was already humiliated beyond repair. It is beyond me how people didn't understand this back then. If you like seeing Han and Leia estranged, Luke vanished, and the Republic destroyed off-screen, then The Last Jedi was the natural continuation. But if you didn't like that film, why did you embrace the film that built the foundation for it? Since you didn't mind the destroyed legacies in The Force Awakens, then what was the problem with The Last Jedi? Wasn't that what you asked for? The Force Awakens is the most disgraceful movie ever made, and to add insult to injury, it was praised for it. Just goes to show that modern audiences don't care about depth or substance, but cheap surface-level tropes and aesthetics are enough to keep them entertained.
Okay, there's some strong language being thrown out.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, the most, what do you say, the most disrespectful, or what word did he use?
Disrespectful, yeah, disgraceful. I think it was a
disgraceful movie ever made. Yeah. Okay.
Here's a perfect opportunity. I mean, like, passionate, right? I get it. Like, the people that have these types of takes are just extremely passionate about their movies and their heroes and everything like that. So, credit to that, right? And to be honest, this isn't really a hot take anymore. I don't know, right? Because there's a good audience here that probably fully agrees with this. So I'm not saying that it's right or wrong, but I'm saying that it's just like, okay, well, this is, this is what I've seen before in the past. If that makes sense.
Yeah. I think this would have been a hot take in 2015, 2016, mm-hmm. But I do agree with a lot of the points about people hating The Last Jedi, but he kind of sets it up as The Last Jedi was just continuing from the shortcomings of The Force Awakens. Is The Force Awakens just like, setting aside like our passion as Star Wars fans, just in terms of like movie making, I would say The Force Awakens, in terms of movie making strictly, is probably the best of the three sequels.
Mm-hmm.
Having said that, I think I've gone on the record also saying that Last Jedi, even though there are so many flaws with it, I appreciate that it tried to be something different. And I think that's a lot of what this point is getting at. This hot take, so to speak, right, is like, it's just New Hope with different characters. And the other piece of this too, which is important to mention, it is hard for so much change to happen in a galaxy off screen between the originals and the sequel trilogy. the Anakin thing he brings up about him being the chosen one and the prophecy and that being like, you know, he brings balance to the Force, and then the First Order exists like, what, 25, yeah. 30 years later. I've always wrestled with that as before the sequels even came out. It was like, but how can there be like this bad guy presence mm-hmm. in the face of Anakin's sacrifice in Return of the Jedi? Right. So I've always struggled with that. So
I guess I think that there were definitely takes in that where I agreed, you know, like the use of Leia and Han and Luke in the sequel trilogy. And I think I've said this before, I would have rather them not have been in it at all. seeing how things panned out for them. If it would have just been Rey and she's trying to figure out her way, she's heard of this legend, Luke Skywalker, she's heard of the legends of, you know, the rebellion. I think that would have been a better storyline, you know. But when you bring in these, what they called at the time, legacy cast, you have an expectations with all of them. And, you know, the best example is Luke. With Luke, how he ended up in Return Jedi and how he ended, you know, how we saw him in Last Jedi, people just absolutely hated that. For me, I'm like, people go through some stuff, you know, over the time. You know, if he is true, you know, if he ends up losing the Jedi Order, if he ends up losing Ben Solo, all this stuff, I can see a broken man. That makes sense. But people really didn't want to see that, you know, and I get it. You know, that's part of it. So as much as this could all be considered a hot take from Cineron, sorry again if we're butchering your name, I think they're valid points. These are all points that, you know, these are truths, you know. So, and especially what you said, for everything that they fought for, and I do like this part about this hot take, for everything that was part that happened in the original trilogy and in the prequels, that just means nothing now, because all of a sudden we're going to just restart everything. And we know the Force Awakens is like a New Hope version 2.0, you know, and that's just and I think my favorite, I will call it out, my favorite was Walmart Darth Vader. That's probably my favorite line in the entire thing. So I mean, hot take for sure, but we should have had like a hot take meter with like, yeah, you know, little chili peppers or something, and like how hot is this hot take. I mean, this is a, you know, I think what you said was best when the movie came out. This probably was a burning take, but now after some time I'm like, yeah, this is just a good talking point. These are good talking points.
What about instead of like a tier system, like S to F or whatever, we give it anywhere from 1 to 5 chili peppers.
Yeah, chili peppers. From Hoth to Mustafar. Like, let's see how high.
I'd say I agree with a lot of what was in it, and a lot of it feels kind of like a lot of people would too. So for that reason, I'd probably go like, I don't know, two chili peppers on that one. Two out of five chili peppers. Yeah. So like whatever's right above Hoth. Spy on Sports in the chat saying, I think the reset in Force Awakens was a result of J.J. Abrams wanting to mirror the original trilogy. If they had delved into the Fall of the Rebellion, they'd have spent minimum of 1.5. Yeah, I agree. I don't want to focus too much of my I'm not anti Force Awakens, but I think the negative things I do have about it, I have a tendency to connect too much of that to J.J. Abrams. Like, obviously, I have nothing against the guy as a person. I don't find myself loving the way that he storytells in movies, at most as evidenced by Rise of Skywalker, but partially evidenced by Force Awakens. Like, oh, there's a mystery, we're not going to tell you what it is until the next movie, and then he doesn't do the next movie. So so anyways, good point there as well, Spy on Sports. All right, we had the longest hot take there. The rest of our hot takes are just basically 1 or 2 minutes a piece. Our next three all come from Darth Tamaris. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. These are each just a minute apiece. Let's start with his first hot take about Ahsoka Tano. Let's hear what Darth Tamaris has to say.
I've mentioned this before in some of my other content, but Ahsoka should have died in Rebels on Malachor against Vader. I am so tired of seeing Ahsoka. I think Ahsoka, I'm soured on it. Tired of Dave Filoni forcing us to...
I'm holding back.
Watch his character that he has somehow kept alive through all these trials and tribulations. Having her die at the hand of Vader would have been poetic and the perfect send-off to a character that, at the time, I think a lot more people cared about. But with The Mandalorian and her show that wasn't the worst thing I've ever seen, but I'm just tired of the character.
I love that.
I think she
wasn't the worst thing I've ever seen.
Wiped their hands of it, but you know, Dave Filoni, he's got his problems, and he is too attached to the character.
He does not like Dave Filoni.
Yeah, I feel like watching that back a second time, because I put these clips together beforehand. Yeah. Watching it back a second time, I didn't realize how much anti-Dave sentiment was in that. It felt more like an anti-Dave Filoni thing. Than
I would like to. I would like to know. That's what I would. I'm more interested in. And why you don't like Dave Filoni? You know, that's a more of a. I would like to see that video. But yeah, I think with you being the super fan, Ahsoka Tano fan, I would like for you to go first with talking about this one.
Okay, I think I would almost divide his take into two parts. And one part, so maybe three parts. There's the Dave Filoni part, which I don't really understand, if I'm being honest. I mean, that's like almost a 4 out of 5 spiciness, and 4 out of 5 chili peppers.
Sure, yeah.
I would take the Ahsoka part of what he's saying and divide it into two parts. The part that is focused specifically on the plot of what it would have done by her death on Malachor fighting Vader in Rebels and Twilight of the Apprentice episodes. I think there's a world where I could get behind that. I mean, I love the character,
yeah,
but I think you could spin that plot and that story to make it work well and, like, I don't know, inspire another character or another show or, you know, whatever it is, like, and in some way her sacrifice has meaning. I think that's a very realistic outcome for those episodes. Having said that, I'm still happy it didn't go that way because I do like Ahsoka as a character. And that's kind of the second half of it that I would focus on, is like not liking Ahsoka as a character, I guess. Are they using a beloved character to make a lot of money on this new TV show? Absolutely. Am I that mad about it? No. I mean, I like the character a lot, and is the show the best Disney Plus show? No, but you know, like he said, it's not the worst thing in the world I've ever seen.
Yeah, right.
So I agree with parts of what he's saying, that it could have worked. I, as someone who personally really enjoys Ahsoka as a character, and maybe I can admit some of that is informed by nostalgia from the Clone Wars era, I'm happy she didn't die in Twilight of the Apprentice. But I don't know. What are you thinking?
I mean, knowing what we know now of Ahsoka, I would have been fine with what he's saying. I think if it turned out that she did not make it out of that fight with Vader, that could have, like you just said, kind of inspired others. I mean, even though, because there was a duration of time where we don't know if she made it out, right? In Rebels. We actually didn't know, so we kind of assumed, but, you know, Star Wars, if we don't see death, then they didn't die. Sometimes even when you do see death, they don't die. But please see any lightsabers through the torso, by the way. So I think if she did not end up making it out of that battle with Vader, I think it would have been powerful. You know, just as powerful as when... Hot take, if you haven't watched Rebels, this time to close your ears. Just as powerful as when we saw Kanan not make it out of Rebels, right? And if you're watching shows like Rebels, you probably watched the Clone Wars. And you would have had this, it would have been a huge impact on you if that happened in Rebels. So I think it would have been great. I think it would have been good. It would have been good, a good show for that. Now, if we're talking financially, Yes, there's a financial part of this, obviously, that they know they can make money off of Ahsoka Tano. So, no, they're not going to... They wanted to at least get her to live action to see what they can get. I don't know how far back they were, how long ago they were already thinking of an Ahsoka like live action show. I mean, this is before Mandalorian. This is before all of that, right? So, but if they were really truly thinking about it, there is no way that they would ever kill off Ahsoka, especially in, where she could have had so much more potential going forward.
Yeah. Yeah, I think this is probably a hot take that more people would disagree with than the last one we looked at. And so for mm-hmm. that reason, I'd probably go like 3 out of 5 chili pepper spiciness yeah. on this one.
I would agree with that. And but with, I'm a little bit of a different person because I like when things like that happen. We're like, oh, didn't see that coming. You're like, oh, I didn't expect her to not make it out. So I just like things like that. I think I would have appreciated it. It's been sad for sure. But at the same time, I think it was just fine. Not happening.
Yeah. And Spy on Sports in the chat saying, as a non-animated Star Wars fan, I never got the superhero status of Ahsoka. I liked the series, but it didn't resonate with me like it did for Clone Wars and Rebels fans. And that totally makes sense. I mean, mm-hmm. I think going into Ahsoka, like the TV show Ahsoka on Disney Plus, if you hadn't seen Clone Wars or Rebels, I don't think there's really any reason to be connected to her.
Excited about it.
I think that makes mm-hmm. yeah, yeah. So I mean, I think that makes a lot of sense. Our next hot take is also from Darth Tamaris, and this one is about the Star Wars Expanded Universe, now referred to, at least everything pre-Disney, referred to as Star Wars Legends era stuff. So let's take a look at the second of 3 hot takes from Darth Tamaris. This one, of course, about the Expanded Universe.
I'm tired of people saying that Disney should adapt stories and characters from the Expanded Universe. As a pretty consistent EU reader, I do not want Disney to touch anything from the Expanded Universe. Not to be overly cynical here, but I do not want them to take stories, characters, story arcs, elements from a vast sea of Expanded Universe stories and turn it into a piece of shit. I mean, just my opinion. I've heard people say the Darth Bane trilogy, X-Wing, Rogue Squadron. I don't want them to take
it. I forgot that was
it. Keep making the Acolyte. Keep making whatever it is they want to make. I don't care. But I don't want them to touch the Expanded Universe.
You know what's funny? As I was putting these together, I remember watching that and thinking, oh yeah, I gotta remember to like probably bleep that out or something. And then I totally forgot. Sorry if you're a listener who watches or listens with your kids,
hey,
by the way.
Yeah, this is real stuff we're talking about here. So
yeah.
I think I have to defer to you here, being more of the EU fan. I mean, I will say this, that from my perspective, I wouldn't consider this a hot take. I think this is something that, and maybe this is being, putting everyone in the same box, but I feel like the people who were affected by the EU not being canon, especially as the EU fan base, especially, I think they were completely fine with, them with Disney not taking over some of their storylines, making them adapting them to Disney canon. What are your thoughts on this particular take?
Yeah, I have a tendency to agree with what you're saying. I think the first thing that came to mind for me is, think about any great kind of trilogy or series of books, not even Star Wars, just anything in general that's well liked or beloved by fans. Harry Potter, Hunger Games, Twilight, Lord of the Rings. How many times can you think of a time when there was this beloved series or trilogy of books amongst the fans, and then they make them into movies, and then the fans who read those books said, wow, the movies are even better than what I read. Right. I mean, I don't know if it happens, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so I think there's is something to be said about like the creativeness that an imagination provides when you're reading something, especially something like Star Wars EU, where it kind of exists as its own thing and has its own mythos and lore to it, more like almost removed from some of the Disney stuff even. And so I guess with that in mind, the EU is something that I'm okay not being touched. I think he makes a good point, and I would agree with it. I think I go like 2 out of 5 spiciness, maybe 1.5. Yeah. I'm going 1.5 spiciness on this one.
Yeah, this is becoming cold takes real quick. Yeah.
All right. That's number 3. Are you ready for his third hot take? Again, this is mm-hmm. Darth Tamaris. This one is about the Kenobi show.
Okay.
Kenobi series is the worst piece of content Disney has ever made.
Oh.
It is the most disrespectful to George Lucas.
How are we going to get another one?
The legacy of Obi-Wan Kenobi, Anakin Skywalker, Darth Vader, period. Worse than the sequels. To interject your shitty story in the timeline was established in 1977 and sort of bookended in 2005 for what? A scene where his helmet gets sliced in half and they talk, that's the scene everybody glazes, but it's a travesty. And I'm glad that it kind of boosted Hayden and Ewan back up into the limelight. They deserve the love, but at the end of the day, it's a piece of shit. It's garbage to have Obi-Wan leave Tatooine, run off with a young Leia, not even including the Inquisitor stuff.
I'm agreeing with that part now.
Yeah. I swear I added a bleep into these somewhere, but maybe we'll have to wait to see when I added that. Okay, so I have a tendency right off the bat to... I think I also was critical of Kenobi when it came out.
Mm-hmm.
I think I would say this is slightly spicier only because he said it's the worst piece of Disney Star Wars content. I can think of at least two that I like mm-hmm. less. Probably.
Well, do we know when this was created, I guess, is another question.
This is a good point. I mean, I can fact check it for us really quick.
So,
10 months ago. 10 months ago.
Okay. So that's...
So I think that's after The Acolyte, right?
Yeah. You and I were both thinking the same thing. So, yeah, I don't know about that, you know. I think with... It seems like Darth Tamaris has an issue with touching anything that was before Disney. If, you know, that's kind of where I'm... as far as... I think that's where the spice level, like, you know, gets a little hotter. Because, you know, he holds Kenobi and... Anakin very, you know, close to his heart as far as his fandom. So I think if it's not exactly how he wants it to be, it's, you know, it's going to be a big issue, right? Now, did I think Kenobi was the best Star Wars show? No. But the level of being the upsetness that he's at, I'm not there. Like, I guess it's more, you know, like I'm more caught in the nostalgia. Maybe and he even mentions getting Hayden and Ewan kind of back into that Star Wars limelight. I think that was a big step for me for the enjoyment of this show. So I think, you know, maybe we have similar thoughts as far as the show and its quality, but just a little bit more elevated on his side. But the thoughts are there, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like I can see how I agree with a lot of what he's saying. And at the same time, like I have to go back to the episode where we ranked our live action Disney mm-hmm. plus Star Wars shows. But I think I had Kenobi at like 4, I want to say. Mm-hmm. And that was like before The Acolyte came out even. So,
mm-hmm.
Like, if I'm just being, like, transparent and honest, like, I liked Kenobi more than Book of Boba Fett and more than The Acolyte. And I mean, I could even make the case to maybe put it, and I'd have to probably have the full list in front of me, but I don't know if there's a lot of merit for me personally to say that this is the worst Disney Star Wars show. I have a hard time getting that far. So if that's the take we're going with, of everything we've heard so far, of all three of the other takes and this one, the fourth one, I'd say this is the one I've probably disagreed with the most, only because I don't think it's the worst, and that was the statement. And so I'd have to probably say it's at least 3 out of 5 spicy if I'm going by that logic.
Right. I'd agree. I think I'd agree with that. It's just, you know, that, you know, because when you have these real, real bold statements that you can't come back from, like being the worst Disney show, or what was the one that Cinaron said, the most disgraceful movie of, you know. So I think, you know, when you make those types of hot take, you know, statements, then those are the ones that pulled in, you know, like, oh, what do you mean by that? You know, so, yeah.
Right. Yeah, and Spy on Sports also saying the same thing that we were thinking, Joey. Did he make this video, this hot take, before The Acolyte? Which, actually, I feel like we need a date on when The Acolyte came out. Was that summertime last year, I want to say? Does that sound right? Something like that.
Yeah,
I think this is a comment back about the Ahsoka take, perhaps. Or maybe this is about the Expanded Universe stuff. When considering Thrawn, I have to agree with this hot take. Get that Ahsoka version of Thrawn out of my Star Wars. If you're not going to give me Timothy Zahn's Thrawn, don't give me Thrawn at all. So yeah, that's definitely more of an EU universe comment. Yeah. And I agree. I think I've only read, I've only read one Thrawn book, but I can see just in that one book how the way that he's portrayed by Timothy Zahn is not the way that he is in the Ahsoka show. So actually, now that I think about it, that's probably something I need to do, is read more Thrawn before season 2 of Ahsoka comes out. But all right, we are on hot take number 5 out of 7 now. These last 3 hot takes are all from The Gold Man. And Joey, I think you're going to find these, I don't know, you're going to find these a little, I'm predicting. This first one is about Rogue One.
Okay. Hot take number 1. Rogue One is the worst Disney Star Wars movie. With Andor coming out in a few weeks, I've noticed a lot of praise has been sent in Rogue One's way. I see plenty of videos of people saying that this is the best Disney Star Wars movie, or this is the only good Disney Star Wars movie. And based on this take, you can probably tell I do not agree with this. Yes, I think The Last Jedi is better than this movie. And yes, I think The Rise of Skywalker is better than this movie. First, let me say that I don't think this movie is awful. The final act, which is the Battle of Scarif, is fantastic. The action is well done. The space battle is probably the second best space battle in Star Wars. The whole plan to get the plans of the Death Star is filled with tension and unease. And of course, the Vader hallway scene is fantastic. But whenever I see people talk about how great this movie is, all they talk about is the Battle of Scarif. They never talk about going to Edu. They never talk about the scenes on Jedha. They never talk about the opening scene with Jyn as a child. And most importantly, they never talk about the characters. For a movie that so many people love, I almost never hear them talk about the characters of this movie. I bet you, if I asked people who have seen this movie to name all 6 members of the Rogue One team, maybe 1 out of every 20 people could do it. That's because the characters in this movie are forgettable. You guys ever wonder why there isn't much hype for the Andor show? It's because most of the casual audience doesn't know who Cassian Andor is. Every time I talk to someone who isn't a geek like me about Star Wars, whenever I bring up Andor, I have to explain to them that the main character is the Mexican guy from Rogue One. And then after 3 seconds or so of them thinking, they will remember. That is not a good sign that your characters are memorable. Say what you will about the sequels, at least people remember the main
character.
The sequels have 3 movies. Of course the characters are more memorable. Fair enough. I remember even after Rogue One came out, and the only two Disney Star Wars movies were Rogue One and The Force Awakens, The Force Awakens' characters were still way more memorable than the Rogue One characters. If you don't believe me, well, go screw yourself, because I know that for a fact. Now, some of you may not care that the characters in this movie blow. You might say that since the action is so good in this movie that it doesn't need to have good characters. Well, people go into movies wanting different things. I can't argue with you there. But what makes a movie good to me are the characters. So since this movie has poor characters, it's a bad movie.
I mean, his whole rationale is that if a movie's characters aren't memorable, the movie is awful. Mm-hmm. Which I think I could not disagree more. I think you could, like Rise of Skywalker is a great example of this. The plot is so nonsensical at times. And of course we know the main characters are Rey, Finn, and Poe. But the plot makes no sense. So, like, is it a great movie because we remember the characters' names? Or is it a great movie because, like, the plot is good? You know what I mean? Like, what makes a movie good? Remembering characters or the fact that it's well written and the story makes sense? To me, this whole take kind of feels just like a debate take. Like, it's trying to get you to be like, initially out of the gate when he's like, Rogue One is the worst. And you're like, what? How can you think that?
Yeah, and almost immediately he goes into, well, all these scenes are great in the movie. Like right away, like real, maybe four, maybe five different, you know, really great, you know, scenes in the movie, you know? Yeah, and I agree. The stance that he has on this is because he doesn't find the characters memorable. I find them super memorable, you know, and I understand that Rogue One, I had a cousin who, or my wife's cousin, who watched Rogue One not knowing where it took in time. So they thought it was the continuation of Return, like after Return of the Jedi or something, because it, you know, because that's just where they thought it was. So when they saw Vader, they're like, wait, I don't understand what's going on. So I think the Rogue One, first off, the Rogue One marketing, I don't remember that being that great. Because there was no lightsabers, because there wasn't the Force. There was, you know, this was really the first Star Wars anthology movie, I think is what they called it at the time, that didn't really have the usual characteristics of a Star Wars movie. And I'll be honest, when I walked into the theater that day, I wasn't sure what to expect, you know. But what I came out with a movie was like, oh, that was just a really great story, you know. Mm-hmm. There are these little factions or these little groups of people that are maybe you'll never hear about, you know. Especially this group of, you know, rebels. Maybe you'll never hear about because they didn't interact with Luke. They didn't interact with Han. You know, so I think that's kind of cool to get that, you know, the smaller people that do all the work. You know, I guess that's what I was saying, is that you know, without them, we don't get the plans to the Death Star. So that, you know, that in itself is a great storyline.
Yeah.
So to say this is the worst Disney movie, I think is crazy. So the hot takes, 6 out of 5 or whatever. I think that's the spiciness is way out the window.
Yeah, and you have to always wonder when there is a hot take that's like a 6 out of 5 hot take, in terms of like the amount of people who would agree with that is so minutely small. Mm-hmm. You have to wonder, like, is this
genuine
opinion?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, because it's just so hard to believe that that's actually, you know, something that he believes. But hey, maybe it is. Benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, entertaining, though. I think it was well done. And I can't wait to see the other two.
And Spiral Sports saying, Rogue One is not the best Disney Star Wars film. It's the best Star Wars film overall.
There's another hot take. Ooh. I like that. Ooh, we should get Spiral Sports on that guy's channel.
Yeah, they'd have a good conversation. Andor has become the most respected Star Wars series of all time. Yeah, worth noting, by the way, that video was after season one of Andor, mm-hmm. and obviously before season two. So part of the context wasn't there when he made the video, but at the same time, it's like, it's just the things, it feels like there's this tug of war kind of between having like this flashy, memorable character movie, if you want to call it that. And then on the other side is like, is a well-grounded, realistic, gritty, real film that actually took the time to have a story that makes a lot of sense, makes you care about the characters and the sacrifice. I mean, it is a story of sacrifice of the common man and woman who like literally give everything to make sure that the rebellion is successful. And it's a meaningful story. And that's what makes it a great film. Not the fact that like, it doesn't have a character waving a lightsaber around means, well, it's the worst one. And like you said, I think a lot of the characters are memorable in that movie. I think there's K2 is probably my favorite, K2SO. But all right, we've got two more hot takes from the Gold Man. If the first one is indicative of anything, you might also be equally as shocked by...
Yeah, I'm excited for these next two. If that first one was that, I want to see these next two now for sure.
Yeah, this second to last one is a hot take about the originals and the prequels. This one's a little bit longer. It's about a 3-minute long hot take.
Hot take number 3. If the originals came out after the prequels, they would be hated passionately. I firmly believe this with all my heart. If the original trilogy came out today or was released after the prequels, all three movies would be passionately hated. And this has nothing to do with 70s and 80s graphics and having the movies look old. Let's just update the graphics and keep the stories the exact same way. This is kinda a separate hot take, but I'm gonna include it here anyway. I think a good portion of Star Wars fans born after 1995 feel obligated to like the original trilogy. They don't nitpick the originals like they do the sequels, well, because the original trilogy is the original trilogy. For the next minute or so, I'm gonna list off things that would be complained about if the original trilogy wasn't the trilogy that came out first. 1. C-3PO would be the Jar Jar Binks of the original trilogy. People don't shit on him, well, because C-3PO is a beloved character from the originals. 2. The Death Star being destroyed by a single photon torpedo is dumb. People already acknowledge that this is kinda dumb, but they give it a pass because, well, it's the first Star Wars movie. If it was really the fourth Star Wars movie, people would actually hate this. 3. Luke Skywalker is a Gary Stu. How could Luke Skywalker fly an X-Wing? He never flew an X-Wing before. He never even flew in space before. How can he fly it so well? 4. AT-ATs have a dumb design. We love AT-ATs because they're cool.
Hey, I knew I added one somewhere.
Let's be real. Having a tank that tall that moves on four legs is strategically a really dumb idea. 5. The Jabba the Hutt sail barge scene is dumb. This scene is obviously iconic, but let's be real. The entire plan to save Han Solo makes no sense. I'm not gonna go into depth here, but if you want to know why this scene makes no sense, then watch this video up top. 6. Return of the Jedi is a ripoff of A New Hope. The Empire creating a second Death Star is one of the most creatively bankrupt ideas that Star Wars has ever done. Starkiller Base was equally as dumb, but at least it looked different and functioned differently. The second Death Star is literally a carbon copy of the first Death Star, minus the fact that it's not complete. But Gold Man, the second Death Star is bigger. 7. Palpatine's death was dumb. Remember how powerful Palpatine was in Revenge of the Sith? Well, in Return of the Jedi, he dies by being picked up and thrown over a ledge. Again, we give this a pass because the movie came out in 1983. And let's be real, the almighty Sith Lord, who had a master plan to take over the galaxy and who arguably the most powerful man in the galaxy, dies by being picked up by a man with one hand and thrown over a ledge. This is kind of dumb.
Don't hate that one.
Yeah, I can get behind the last one.
Yeah.
Just, but the overall take that if the originals came out today after the prequels, they would be hated. I mean, there's always going to be something in a movie that you can nitpick at and say, that doesn't make a lot of sense.
Right.
There's always going to be at least some small thing. Mm-hmm. And I feel like a lot of the things he was bringing up felt like they were falling in that category of like small things that are like C-3PO being like the Jar Jar Binks.
Yeah, and then just like this will cause this movie to be hated. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
And I get that a little bit of it's dated, and he even mentioned that during his hot takes that, you know, it is even about the technology, but I mean, you do have to take that into mind, you know what I mean? Like, you do have to, you know, put that, just because you could say, if you, you know, if you have like, you know, the claw from, I don't know why I thought this, from like, you know, from like Dave and Buster's, just pick up the Star Wars original trilogy and plop it in 2025. It's not going to perform well. Well, obviously, you know, like, course. So there's going to be updates to it. There's going to, you know, there's not going to be these plot holes. There's not going to be all this stuff. So I think it's, yeah, it's like having the argument, like, who's better, Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant, LeBron James, Bill Russell, Kareem, you know, I mean, like, it's that same argument where you could say, like, oh, well, if it was in this era, it would be different. You know, he wouldn't be as good. Well, yeah, probably, you know, I mean, so like this argument, although is probably an argument that a lot of people have, like it almost like doesn't matter, you know, because it's like you can never take this piece of art and move it into a different era and expect it to be exactly the same. It's not going to be. Would it be hated? I don't know if it would be hated even, you know, will there be less fans? Possibly. But I think that's the point of a franchise. That's the point of having kind of these epic series, is that it starts at one point and then it continues on through the lifetime, you know? So I think there just needs to be that, you know, understanding. So I get, like, you know, it's starting to feel a little bit like what you were saying, Ben, is that you're just trying to get this reaction out of people, and it makes sense. But at the same time, I'm like, okay, I suppose that's a take, but at the same time, I'm like, okay, I see what you're trying to do here at the same time.
Yeah. And it goes to say, like, too, that every story is written for the era and the people who it's being delivered to, you know? So the original trilogy was written for people who existed in the 70s and 80s, and it's probably not going to make as much sense if it came out in 2025, and maybe the current era of people wouldn't enjoy it as much. But to say that it would be hated passionately, I mean, I don't know. I don't think this is quite as spicy as the Rogue One take, but I'd say it's like at least a three out of five spiciness.
You're right. Yeah, I agree. And before this last one, we do see a couple of Twitch comments, and we'll address those after this last hot take.
Nice, nice. All right, you ready for the Gold Man's last hot take and our final video hot take today before some of the comments you just referred to that we'll throw on as well? Okay, this one is about Princess Leia. So buckle your seatbelt, Joey. You might be in for a bumpy ride here.
Hot take number 6, and my final hot take, Princess Leia is an overrated character. This one may piss off a lot of people, but it's genuinely how I feel. Now, I can't ignore how important of a character Leia is to a lot of people. Back in 1977, you didn't see women in movies like Princess Leia. Leia was a headstrong woman who wasn't afraid to speak her mind. She was a leader and someone that girls all over the world could look up to. Now, I don't think Leia is a bad character. I just think she's overrated. Does Leia have any flaws? I sat down and thought about this for a minute, and I really couldn't think of any flaws. I even looked up what are Leia's flaws on Google, and the answers that came up I found to be wildly unconvincing. I guess if you wanted to include the sequels, you can say she gave up her son to Luke, fair enough. But in the original trilogy, she has no flaws. She doesn't make mistakes. For someone in her early 20s, she's incredibly good at leading a military, she doesn't crack under pressure, and everyone loves her. Not once do we see her actually shown any signs of sadness or pain after her home planet was blown up and her parents were killed. After it's blown up, she never comments on it again. There's a lot to love about Princess Leia. Again, I'm not saying she's a bad character, but nowadays people realize that characters need to have flaws if they're gonna be compelling, and Leia doesn't have any. Even Padme, a character that I genuinely think is a bad character, has flaws. Leia gets a pass because, well, she's Princess Leia. So yeah, this is easily the hottest take on the list.
Okay. I don't think there's a lot of substance behind this take.
Yeah, I mean...
Like, the take is she's overrated because she doesn't have flaws, which, by the way, I think she does have flaws. And I've never heard anyone say that, like, maybe there are people that think or feel this way, but I've never heard anyone say, like, Princess Leia is objectively the best Star Wars character. Mm-hmm. And maybe there are people that think that, but yeah. I don't have the sentiment really that she's an overrated character. I think she's appropriately rated. I don't know. What do you think?
I mean, I just don't agree. I mean, right off the bat, he says, and it's funny. I think a lot of what this particular content creator is doing is almost like proving his point wrong. You know, like
right.
Like and maybe that's just his thing, which is actually kind of brilliant. You know, because he starts out and says that she's overrated, and then right away he gives the reasons why she's great. You know, like, you know, you didn't see that type of character in the 70s, strong female lead, is able to do all these things, has no flaws. And I mean, you know, I'll have to think about a little bit more about, and I love that he Googled, like, oh, what are Leia's flaws? You know, like, that's really showing, you know, that they, you know, you're really getting into it now. But I, you know, I don't agree that she's overrated. I think she is, like, as you said, appropriately rated, especially with the impact that she has had on the fandom. I think that's a big reason why she is such a great character. What, you know, because of what she brings to, you know, the female fandom especially. So, I mean, I just, like, right away, I kind of like, okay, I can not get behind this at all. And I mean, as much as it really wanted to be a hot take, like, you didn't give any reason why. I mean, I can go off and just say, Darth Vader is like the worst bad guy I've ever seen, and then just end the video. Like, that's like exactly what, you know, that's what I could do. And that's kind of, I feel like that's kind of what happened here.
So I had two things. One thing was something he referenced in his hot take. He was talking about how Leia, when she witnesses the destruction of Alderaan, doesn't have react. Like react to it. He said that he used that as evidence of being flawless, but I would argue that it, like, showing emotion is, like, in that situation is the correct thing to do, and with withholding showing strong emotions about the death of everyone you knew is a character flaw. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
Like not reacting to this extreme sadness feels like a character flaw to me. And the second thing was, I looked it up. I Googled what are Princess Leia's flaws.
Yeah.
And Google immediately says, Princess Leia, while a strong and capable leader, does have flaws. and then goes on to list a lot of other things, including, like, a tendency towards impatience, a short temper, which can lead to conflict with others like Han and Luke. She can be naive at moments. And
so, like, a human being. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Terrible. Yeah. Oh, man. It sucks to be a human being sometimes. Gosh.
Yeah, this one, I struggle with the same thing I did on the last two. Like, how spicy do I rate the take? Because it feels like it's just, like, saying things to be, like, very what's the word? Is bombastic a good adjective?
Yeah. You're trying to, like, really be loud about something that maybe you don't really feel too strongly about.
Yeah. Well, shout out to the Gold Man and Darth Tamaris and Cinerion, our three creators.
It's great to see these takes too. I mean, just because maybe we don't agree with them. I mean, everybody, you know, if you have these types of opinions on Star Wars, and obviously that's, you know, that's yours to take. And, you know, when you share it with the world, you know, you'll have people either, you know, agree or disagree with them.
Yep, exactly right. And speaking of those hot takes, we do have a couple more we wanted to share, most of which from Twitch, and then one also from the socials as well. And as we're reading these, if any of you watching live on YouTube or Twitch now want to input your largest Star Wars hot take in the comments of either the Twitch chat or the YouTube chat, feel free to do that while we take on these next couple of Star Wars hot takes here from Twitch and our socials. Joey, you wanna go on? You wanna go over some of the Twitch comments we got?
Yeah, sure. What is this, Dark? Or Dark Sage 9117, I'm genuinely curious if in the next Jedi game they will have Darth Vader kill Cal Kestis. I admit at times I want the bad guys or villains to win, and we all know how Vader dies in Star Wars. So I suppose my question is, if they pulled the bait and switch and had Cal lose to Vader and showed us how strong he really was, would fans rebel against it? I mean, I even said earlier, if Ahsoka didn't make that out of it, I would have been fine with it. So I think in that same vein, the problem here would be, how do you pull that off in a video game, you know? And for it to be like impactful and done well. So for those who don't know, Cal Kestis is the main protagonist in the Jedi series. Currently, there are two out there. There's Jedi Fallen Order, Jedi Survivor, and there's a third unnamed one that I think is in development, or at least was kind of announced at this point. I don't know if fans would rebel against it. I think there would be a split for sure, where people didn't want to see Cal Kestis die in a video game. But at the same point, I think he has not. I don't know if he has the kind of pull Ahsoka does, as far as, you know, people wanting him to continue to live on for a long time. I mean, he's a video game character at this point. Haven't seen him in any live action or even any animated series that I can think of. So I think it would. I think if done well, it would be fine. Particularly with me, I think if it was a well done story, and it made sense for him to. I mean, at some point, because we don't see Cal Kestis at all in any of the sequel trilogy or even in the original trilogy, because that takes place like after Order 66, if I'm not mistaken. So I wouldn't be too surprised if that's what ended up happening.
Yeah, my mind immediately goes to sort of the same thinking of watching Andor season 2, knowing that most of these people can't make it out of this because they're not in Rogue mm-hmm. One. That's sort of the mm-hmm. same feeling I have about Cal Kestis. Like, if he does make it through the last game, which, you know, it's a video game, so you have a tendency to think he probably would stand a better chance in a video game than in a film.
Mm-hmm.
But if he does make it through the game, like, well, then where was he after the game? You know, it kind of opens exactly. up.
You have to answer that, yeah.
Right.
Exactly. Right, so. Dark Sage goes on to say, I'm in the camp of, and I want to see all the years later, how strong Vader really is. And to me, I would not care if you had him show up and beat you. He was part of the first two games. I feel at times in some media, it's all right to have the villains triumph. Not always have a happy ending, and for Vader, I would be fine with it. Yeah, I would agree with that. That's not something I would be against. Like I said, if it's done well, and like you said, Vader was existent during those first couple of games. So if he ends up kind of being the end of Cal Kestis, then it would almost make sense.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm excited for the third game. We've done a couple of live streams of the first two games mm-hmm. here on the channel. So you gotta go down somewhere in the Hoth Hangout archives to find our live streams of Jedi Survivor and Jedi Fallen Order. all right, what's our next comment here? Our next Star Wars hot take.
On our Instagram, Joe MF Co, JJ cannot stick the landings in the endings of his projects. Lost, Super 8, Rise of somehow Palpatine returned. I think that's the original name of that last movie.
Oh my goodness, we just came so full circle with this comment. The amount of Lost references and Lost jokes that we mm-hmm. make, it's pretty rare if we go more than one or two episodes without referencing Lost in some way.
Yep.
And I just realized that J.J. Abrams did Lost. I had just buried that somewhere in my memory. And now it all makes sense. Now I understand why The Rise of Skywalker is the way it is.
Yep. Yeah, and, you know, we make fun of Lost, but, you know, I really wish the sequel trilogy, and I think we've said this before, was just planned out better. You know, if it was JJ to do all three, if it was Rian Johnson to do all three, or whoever the original, you know, directors were to be, I think it just would have been so much better. You know, you had great actors, you had great technology, you know, potentially great storylines. There were parts that I enjoy. I still enjoy watching some of these, you know, some of the movies. Rise of Skywalker, not as much as the other two, but I think the possibilities that the sequel trilogy had were pretty big. So, and unfortunately, to a lot of the fandom, to a portion of the fandom, they didn't come through. But what I like about Star Wars is that every generation has its Star Wars. So there is a generation out there that the sequel trilogy is their Star Wars. So that's what they grew up on. This is, you know, what they love. They love Rey. They love Finn and Kylo, the Walmart and Darth Vader, and they just enjoy it. And, you know, and they'll consume all of Star Wars. And I'm fine with it. I'm fine with having, you know, being the same fandom as them as well.
There you go. Yeah. Yeah. And to what you were saying about just the consistency of having the same director for all three films, no matter who that director was, I wish they would have sat down in a room with executives, and I imagine they probably do this on some level, but like, write the story for all three movies together. That's, I think, what could, if they do ever make, like, is the Rey film, I think it's supposed to be a Rey trilogy, isn't it?
I forget where we're at with that, honestly.
If they ever do another trilogy, I hope they learn, you know, start by writing all three movies before you make the first movie. I think that'd be the biggest thing that they could do differently there. But and then back to Joe's comment, I know I've seen Super 8. I wish I could recall the ending more.
Yeah, but I don't think I've watched that fully, so I'd have to watch that again.
Yeah, it's been, gosh, what year did that come out? I feel like I was in high school when that came out.
It was a much older movie. Actually, yeah. I didn't even know that it was him until this comment, to be honest.
Yeah, I didn't either. I didn't know about Super 8 being him, and I had forgot Lost was him. So, oh, by the way, on one of those other video hot takes, when he said all fans born after 1995 or later would agree with him, I'm just gotta say, as someone who was born in the first part of 96, I disagree with him.
There you go.
Yeah, I'm going against the grain on that one. Well, we've had lots of wonderful hot takes, both in video form, in chat and comments, as well as on the socials. And one last one to kind of conclude us today that it looks like just came through on the YouTube chat from Spy on Sports. Here's another Star Wars hot take. Beautiful base cards of my favorite characters are just as important as the hits when I rip a Star Wars pack / box. Joey, that one goes out to you.
Yeah, that's, yeah. Me and Spy on Sports, we're like into the hobby like that. So yeah, that is, that's pretty funny. That's very solid. Spy on Sports was in Chicago for a card convention over the weekend, sports card convention. I wanted to go meet up with them, but unfortunately I had a family engagements or prior engagements that I had to get to. So hopefully next time Spy on Sports will get to meet up at some point. But we're big hobby buddies.
Nice, very nice. Well, to Spy on Sports and all those of you hanging out over on Twitch or in the YouTube chat, thank you for joining us today for these hot takes. And if you are watching or listening after the fact, let us know in the comments of the video or somewhere on the socials what your biggest Star Wars hot take is. And as a final reminder, if you're not yet subscribed to the Hoth Hangout channel on YouTube, check us out there for the video version of every podcast, as well as our live streams of the podcast, if you're catching them on Tuesday nights when they are available, again, in live format. You can also check out a lot of our reactions. We finally got a lot of those season 2 Andor reactions coming out.
Good job, Ben.
Format. Yeah. Cranking them out slowly. Only, 4 months late or something like that. So, but yeah, check out our Andor reactions to season 2 of Andor. Just uploaded, I think, episode 6 is now available, and 7, 8, and 9 are be available later this week, too. So you can contact us via email at hothhangout@gmail.com with your Star Wars thoughts, questions, or otherwise. And we'd love to showcase them on the pod. You can catch the podcast anywhere you get your pods, including both Apple and Spotify. And if you're listening on either of those platforms or any platform that allows you to leave a 5-star review, leave a 5-star review on the podcast. We'd appreciate it very much. And it also allows other Star Wars fans to discover the podcast more easily. We're on the socials on Instagram, TikTok, and X at Hoth Hangout on each of those platforms, as well as live streaming the episodes on Tuesday evenings on Twitch as well, also at Hoth Hangout over there, every other Tuesday evenings, I guess I should say. The Hoth Hangout community Discord server is also findable and available down in the show notes of today's episode as well. Joey, any last thoughts on today's hot takes or any hot takes of your own that you want to add in?
I mean, this was fun. I mean, do we reach out to more creators? Like I feel this is a great idea to try and reach out to other creators and have like these discussions about their hot takes. It might get kind of spicy, but I think that might be a future episode.
You know what? It would be fun if we like maybe if it's in March for a bracket. If it's not a big deal, but make like a bracket style.
Oh,
where
yeah,
we
yeah.
have, I don't know, like 16 creators, and we have them send us like a 20-second video clip of their hottest Star Wars take, and then we crown the hottest Star Wars take, and we have these matchups between people. I feel like that'd be fun, something like that. But yeah, just getting more people, Star Wars content creators involved is probably something we'll be looking to do here in the near future. So stay tuned for that as well. And last but certainly not least, shout out and thank you to Gibbo for producing today's episode, and who is the hottest take of the Hoth Hangout podcast, Mr. Gibbo himself. Appreciate you, Gibbo. Thank you for all you do for the podcast and all the stuff that goes on behind the scenes. And last thing for today, shout out to George Lucas. Shout out to Dave Filoni. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Hoth Hangout podcast, episode 118. Join us next time for episode 119. 2 weeks from today, we'll be right back here. Hope to see you back then. Again, check out the reactions on YouTube to the Andor Season 2 episodes if you haven't already. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. Help us get closer to 500 subscribers. We're getting closer. And thank you so much for being here for today's episode. Hope you have a fantastic rest of your day. And until next time, may the Force be with you.